Welcome to the workshop, Traveling in Abstinence. My name is Jackie and I'm a compulsive overeater. Do we have any newcomers here or visitors from outside the area? If so, we want to welcome you. A quick wave. Welcome to all. The chat will be open if you want to put your name and phone number in to get phone numbers for outreach. We'll have both speakers put their number there as well. This workshop is about how to travel the world and maintain abstinence and food sobriety. We are going to start off with the Serenity Prayer. For all those who want to, please unmute and join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
God, grant me the
grant us serenity.
serenity to
To accept
accept
the
the things
things
I
I
can't
cannot
change,
change, the
courage
courage
to
to accept
change
the
the
things
things
I
I can,
can,
and
the wisdom to know the difference.
that will not let me down.
Great. Would the person who volunteered to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous please unmute and it will be posted?
Great.
12 steps of
Hi.
Overeaters Anonymous. Oh, Susan, did you want to do the steps and I'll
It
do the
doesn't matter.
chat?
I'll do the traditions. Go for it, Janine. Now you're muted.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much. We're going to go ahead with our first speaker, Deborah. How would you like your time? Or are you going to time yourself? You have 20 minutes.
Both of those things. Will you give me five at before the end, Jackie, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
Great.
And Susan, I muted you. Okay. Hi, my name is Deborah. I'm a compulsive overeater, vomiter, and drug addict. And I want to thank Jackie for asking me to share. I'm going to do real quick. Oh, see, press the start. Real quick, a little about myself. Many of you know this. I walked into Overeaters Anonymous on May 15th, 1981, which was 44 years ago. And I like to say the only thing, two things that I did right were that I kept breathing and I kept coming back. Everything else took me a really long time to do. And in that, this year I celebrated 35 years of continuous abstinence, and in that time, I have learned a tremendous amount of things which are not going to fit into 20 minutes. And yet we share those things with others so that our lives become bigger. And my life became really bigger. I was never very good in the dating department. I learned how to date. I learned how to stay in a relationship. I learned how to get married. And my husband and I, one of the two, the two, the, one of the things that we love to do the most is travel. And we travel a lot. And people hear about it in our shares all the time. And as we travel, we go to meetings when we travel. And I was speaking to my friend Holly. Many of you know Holly, and many of you know that Holly's my friend. And we were talking about this morning. Now, Holly has had photos of my food from all over the world. There are, like, she's had photos from Prague. She's had photos from Paris. She's had photos of green beans from Hawaii. She's had photos of fish in Russia. I mean, Holly has had photos of my food. And I don't do that. I'm not a person who photographs and sends my food at this point in my abstinence. Sometimes it's like, look at this cool meal I get to have. It's more like, wow, isn't this piece of fish gorgeous? And it'll be on this beautiful plate. And it's like, you know, in some of these wonderful places. And I said to her, I'm looking for this text. I said, seems to me traveling in abstinence is about two things, planning and willingness. And then I wrote humility. And I said, okay, maybe that's three. So planning, willingness, humility, and also asking for help. Asking for help, asking for help, asking for help. And in some of my planning, and I'll show you some of the things that I do. I don't know, a number of you have known me throughout the years, and about 10 years ago, my food plan changed because I got something called SIBO. So there's a lot of foods I can't have, even in the United States, that are, you know, like healthy foods. Like I can't have apples, I can't have onions, I can't have garlic, I can't have mushrooms. I go into restaurants, I made this little thing up like on a piece of paper, and I took it and I laminated it and I cut it into little cards. So when I go into restaurants, I hand them this and the waiters go, thanks, that's great. Well, guess what? When I go out of town, now we have Google Translate. Here it is in French. Here it is in Icelandic. I've done it in Korean. I've done it in Spanish. I've done, you know, I go because my abstinence is so important to me. I don't want to die behind food anymore, and I don't want to miss anything. And I'm going to do a couple of screen shares here. Well, actually, I'm going to do a lot of screen shares, but and I apologize for this. Okay, here's just to show that I actually belong here. This is how I came in. My top weight, I stand like 5 feet two, and my top weight was like 185 pounds. And that was in 1973, as was this. And then I joined Weight Watchers, which is a wonderful food plan, except that they had those unlimited foods. So I'm eating 6 heads of lettuce. I'm eating 4 pounds of broccoli. I'm compulsively, my behavior is compulsively eating. Although I lost weight. And then I discovered cocaine, which is why I identify as a drug addict. Because I got clean and sober also, and I have 42 years of sobriety, but I was in this program first. This was my first 12-step program. This is my gutter. Food is my gutter. So this is like cocaine crazy eyes. And then I got sober, and then I'd like to show, this is like pretty much, this was just before the pandemic, but I love to show these last two pictures. As I said, I learned how to date and get married. I met my husband in the year 2000, and this is a party, and we were at a party, and somebody took our picture. And wait, 23 years later, I'm wearing the same outfit. Why? Because I've been abstinent. I've been abstinent one day at a time. I go to meetings. I tell you when things are shitty. I tell you when we're moving and I'm scared to death. I tell you when my food is fucked. I tell you all those things. And from all of those things, I get to go and travel. Okay. We went out and I have to switch screens a second. Hang on. Go find this. This is traveling in abstinence. Okay. So I'm going to share from a lot of our trips, and I'm going to talk about it as I go along. And this first one, and I found out that I could do this, so I think you actually can see me as I share the Eiffel Tower. On our first anniversary, we had now it's gone. That was the Eiffel Tower. We'll get it back a second. I thought I had this so that I could do this. Okay. Ah, there we go. It was our first wedding anniversary. We were having dinner in the Eiffel Tower. It was a completely fabulous meal. That's a beautiful piece of fish. Holly did not get this picture because we didn't even have cell phones then. This is back in 2009. And we were all dressed up and looking very, very young back then. But, you know, I said to them that I didn't eat dessert, and they brought me, you know, those plates that they write on with chocolate. Well, here it is, a beautiful plate saying happy anniversary, but I didn't have to have dessert. My dessert was being there. My dessert was, oh my gosh, I'm in Paris and on my first anniversary, and I'm abstinent, and I get to be where I am. What a miracle that is. We went down to Normandy from there. They make amazing omelets in these copper bowls, and they whip those eggs forever and forever. And yet, here's my husband. He's a normie. He's actually not a normie. He's a sober alcoholic, but he loves his little ice cream cones. He eats like three bites and throws it away. I don't get it. He's a real sick person. But I go into the grocery stores, and what do I get? I get cans of vegetables. They have pop tops. Here they are, cans of vegetables. Unfortunately, at that point, I didn't have the SIBO yet. I can't eat Brussels sprouts anymore, but I love them. And so here I am in Normandy with my Diet Coke, my Brussels sprouts, my salsify, which is a lot like asparagus, and my green beans. And I get to be abstinent. Do we go to beautiful restaurants? Yes, but sometimes in the restaurants, I need more than that portion because I don't eat in between meals. You know, my needs are different. So I will supplement. Sometimes the restaurants just aren't enough. So I go to grocery stores and I'm grateful for them. We went on to, okay, you really, I had these all set up and you're going to do this on me. Thanks, photos. We went, oh, and this isn't going to work because it's okay. Now it's going to show. We were in Alaska and it's going to, unfortunately, I'm going to have to show on slideshow. I get to be in amazing places because I'm abstinent. So this was 2010. I get to be there. I get to not look at it on a postcard. I get to tell you how it smells, what it looks like. I get to experience being alive today because I recoil as if from a hot flame. On page, I think it's 101 in the big book. It's in the chapter Working with Others, and it says, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism, compulsive overeating, which proposes to shield the sixth man from temptation. Well, if I'm shielding me from temptation, that means I'm not going to Alaska. I'm not getting on a cruise ship. I'm not going to Paris and eat dinner in the Eiffel Tower because I'm being shielded from temptation. But the big book tells me here, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. I need the protection of my higher power. I need all those other things I talked about, willingness. You know, there we are. Now I'm in Greece. We're on a cruise ship. I can still wear that dress. That's from 2013. I wore that dress last week. Okay. And it's like my size doesn't change. Now we're in Russia. And I am sorry that Hawaii. Still abstinent. Okay, I'm in New York. This is me in the background of the picture. Oh, with the cauliflower and the green beans back there, right? I got the cauliflower and the green beans. I can go anywhere. I don't have to eat the whole sandwich. I can say, can I please have a to-go box? I put half of it away. I don't eat the bread and I have corned beef and vegetables. Oh my gosh, didn't eat that Russian dressing there. But I get to go and be in the world. And when I'm in the world, oh, this goes with me all the time. These 10-minute chips travel all around the world with me. And I am grateful for it. I'm going to stop sharing because I'm going to go back to find Jackie, how much time do I have left here?
You have 4 minutes, 52 seconds, and then another
52.
5.
So, I have an expression, and people ask me this, and I say this all the time. Failing to plan is planning to fail. I don't want to fall down into my food one more time. It has stolen my life. It didn't allow me to have relationships with other human beings. It did not. I got fired from jobs. I have a life today that's beyond my wildest dreams. I can continue to show you photographs from all over the world, which I'd like to do. I think I'm going to do that. to do that because it helps me to continue the story. And you can see, but what happened is they all closed and I have to reopen them. I'm so sorry. I'm going to go just keep reopening all of these so the next ones will be ready. I had them all up. Okay, that's in New Zealand. Okay, and I'm going to come back to that. It's making me crazy. I'm so sorry. And we skipped that. That's in Lake Como. Okay. Let's see if we can get this to work now. Come on. I'm sure you're all having fun watching this, so you're not going to do it. I'm going to have to do it in slideshow format. I'm sorry. It was not how I wanted it to do it. Okay. That's in Lake Como. And it's more about, oh my gosh, yes, I got to be at this amazing and beautiful place. So this, more photos of food. This is a stuffed squash blossom that I got to eat in this restaurant looking out on Lake Como. And it was abstinent because I have a willingness to order food that's abstinent. And they send me a plate that's a picture. I look at this thing, it's so beautiful because I have my senses available to me, my senses of sight, my senses of smell, my senses of hearing the lake, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, these God-given gifts that we're given if I'm willing to put the food down. And I put the food down and I get to go, okay, these are chocolate. I couldn't resist taking that picture, but like, have you ever seen anything like that? Those are chocolate. Okay. Then we're on to Beijing, Peking. Okay. I'm in friggin' Korea. I'm like, and I'm abstinent. And here's an amazing picture. And I thought about this when I put this in here. The gifts of being abstinent let you be alive. This is Hiroshima. This is where the atomic bomb was dropped. And if I'm not abstinent, I can't feel the emotions of where I get to be and how I can carry forth this message to other people is only by being abstinent. So I get to go to these places. But then what made me laugh was there's Deborah's special meal because I asked for it on the cruise ship. Now, mind you, I went and ate more fruit than that. Two strawberries got to kill me on that. Come on, you know, really? And that I was like blown away that they served me what Holly knows is like my favorite food, kombucha squash. And there I am in Japan eating that miracle. And what I got to do later in the day was go and make rice paper because I'm in my life. I'm not looking for the next bite. I'm not looking to escape my feelings. I'm not looking to run away. I get to live a life beyond my wildest dreams. So there I am back in the cruise ship. And, you know, Chris will tell you this also. Cruising is wonderful because they will give you what you need when you ask for it. That food is available and they're helpful and they just want to make you happy. Yes, I eat a lot of carrots, but that's because of that SIBO thing. A lot of vegetables were taken away from me. So on trips, I tend to eat a lot of carrots because there's only so much broccoli one can eat. Okay. Okay. Mount Fuji. Like, really? You're at Mount Fuji. Oh my gosh. And this was just some having fun there. And, you know, plate full of Japanese sweet potatoes, one of my favorite. Abstinent food is available everywhere. I don't have to eat croissants in Paris. I don't have to eat pizza when I'm in Italy. I don't have to have those things. If I pick up those things, I miss the country I'm in. Here's me. I pack. I take these flat salmon and tuna packs with me all over the world. They're an absolutely perfect portion, protein meal portion. And, you know, I take plastic tubbies with me when I travel. Yep, I do. Paris, Iceland. Yep, plastic tubbies go with me. I'm powerless. I'm not helpless. I'm not helpless. I can ask for help and I can do things that allow me. Okay, this was bad. Like I said, we were in That's in New Zealand. And one of the things I loved about the mud baths in New Zealand, this place was crazy. It was geothermal. Everything's geothermal heated. They cooked our meal over these geothermal springs, and they put it in this, little aluminum foil thing, and they show you with the geothermal cooking. Perfectly absolute meal. I'm sorry, it's on slideshow. It just keeps going by itself. And it's like they hand you your portion. I'm like, oh, look, absolute meal made over the geothermal springs that I get to experience back on the cruise ship. What a surprise. Okay. But I get to see these things. Look at, I get to see these beautiful animals in New Zealand. Okay. When was the last time you held a koala bear? I can't experience these things. Or a wallaby. Yes, I'm chasing the wildlife and snorkeling the Great Barrier Reef. Miracle. Back to the ship, back to abstinence. Like, it's the same story with me over and over again. In Australia, we went to AA meeting. They have their own big book in Australia. It's called the Green Book. The 100, first 164 pages are the same. The stories are more local to Australia. Like-minded travelers, we would have meetings on the ship, and we would go to meetings, as Jill and I were talking about, in person in Paris, Bali. Thank you very much. I'm on swing and beautiful. Like, I have to ask, and they'll give you what you want. And I had a wonderful spiritual experience when I was in Bali. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have enough time for these last couple, which is fine. But I don't even remember what this is. But there was two things I did want to show before I finished, and I'm going to have to reload them to, oh, great, whatever that is. Okay. Sorry, I'm like rambling and babbling. Great, rambling and babbling. I don't know if these are going to come up. Oh, yeah. This was in Hawaii of this year, in January of this year. Great, whatever that is. And a lot of you know Rita, who met her at the birthday party or in other places. I got to travel with people in. I didn't travel with her. She happened to be in Hawaii the same time we were, and I got to meet up with people that I've met in this program from all over the world. This was in Maui at a beautiful place called Io Park. It was pouring. You can see it's soaking wet there. And what I really wanted to finish up with was this last one, and it's really sort of interesting. Well, it's kind of interesting or touching for me, and I'm sorry, I'm just babbling along here. This was on the Alaska cruise ship. That was a long time ago, 2010. And this was my husband having dessert on the last night, and they kept asking me what I wanted for dessert. And I kept telling them that I didn't want anything. I want nothing for dessert. And you know how they do that? Again, the writing, the chocolate writing on the plate, come on. So I told them I wanted nothing, and they made me a plate with nothing. And I love this picture because in that nothing or no thing, I get to experience the gift of recovery that is so profound. I live a life today beyond my wildest dreams. Many of you know us. My husband and I live very humbly. My husband, who is 76 years old, still works. And we love to travel. He loves to travel fancy. What can I tell you? I'm sometimes embarrassed, like, we're going where? And yet I ask for help. I say, how I can't do this, God, without you. My God is portable, and I hope that I have shared something. I will be glad to share my phone number and any information you want to know about traveling. I talk to people a lot. There's the timer. And I am blessed with the willingness to not know, willingness to ask for help, willingness to look at menus online all over the world, even when we're not like on cruise ships and we're in regular restaurants. We look at the restaurants, we look at the menus ahead of time. And I think that's about it for me right now. Janine's got a hand up, but I think questions are later, Jackie. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Amazing. We're going to pause right now for the seventh tradition and have our second reading of the 12 traditions, and that will be posted. I just put the link in the chat for how to make a donation. Thanks.
Hi, Susan, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks so much. I believe for the person asking in the chat, you can go ahead and click one-time donation, or maybe refresh the page. Now we're going to go ahead for our second speaker. Chris, take it away. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a compulsive overeater. Jackie, thank you very much for putting this together and asking me to be a speaker along with Deborah. Deborah, thank you for sharing and really being helpful when I travel. So my abstinence date is June 15th of 2021. I've been in the room since 2020. My top weight was 550 pounds. And as of my last weigh-in date, I am down to 221 pounds. I've lost 329. I've traveled a lot of places in abstinence. And like Deborah said, I have done this with the help of everyone here. That's how I like really get through it. Before I get into all that, I do want to say that I have traveled before, not very far, but I traveled while I was in my disease. I will share a photo of that. I'm also going to share a bunch of photos. Some of them are like Deborah's, most are not as impressive, but we're going to try. So this was me, not in abstinence. It was in 2014. It was my first time coming out to California. I really only traveled inside the country very few times while in abstinence. I'm sorry, while not in abstinence, in my disease. And like Deborah, I also have drugs and alcohol as a history, which I am clean from. Clean on that for 5 years and a lot of months. Anyway, so this was me before. And now I'm gonna just kind of like skip through some photos to kind of like just give an idea on where I'm at now. This was me when it was in Venice, Italy, when I proposed to my wife. This was the night we got engaged. And then this was us on our honeymoon, looking like complete idiots in matching Disney ears. And then this was me in Thailand. I got to visit my biological dad. I had never met him. It was another gift of abstinence, which, by the way, I feel like all these are like just it is a gift of recovery. This was us on the trip when I proposed to my wife. This was us at the Coliseum. I was trying to find photos that were matching the flyer that Jackie made because there was a few little spots we'd been to. This was us on our wedding day. This was me and my brother-in-law in Japan. This was somewhere in Tokyo. This was us kayaking in the fjords recently. We just did a Northern European trip. This was us after we hiked up a 3 mile mountain called Sukkertoppen out in Norway. Hilarious name. This was us at the in Paris at the Eiffel Tower. This was us in Norway again, in another spot. This was me in a coffee shop in Amsterdam after having to make sure, not only asking them to make sure I didn't have any drugs in my coffee, but they also, when they give you coffee, they put chocolate in it. So I had to send that back. And just like Deborah was talking about, you just kind of have to ask and just, say what you need. And then this was us in Bruges, which they don't like tourists there, I could tell you that. Okay, so that was like a whole little mix of pictures of me and my wife and myself out in the world. The night that we got engaged, okay, so in I think it was like October or November of 2020, me and my wife went on a trip to Mexico. And this was like I was about like 8 or 9 months abstinent. I'd lost a ton of weight, and we went out to Mexico with her friends for one of her friends' like birthday parties. And we were there for a week. And we had the you want to talk about fancy traveling? These people traveled very fancy. We had this giant house in the middle of Oaxaca, I think it was. And like there was a swimming pool inside of the house. We had a personal chef the whole time. And I was not honest with food. And I was absolutely not abstinent that whole trip and just lying. I was like binging on tubs of hummus at 3 in the morning. Just absolute lying about food. And that was where I had so much possible help and support. Like I had so much possible, help and options there. All I had to do was just ask this person who was hired to make me food. And yet I was still lying about food. And I'm bringing that up because I do think that we can do anything and go anywhere, as Deborah said, if we're just willing. And at that point in my recovery, I was not willing. I was not willing to follow direction. I was not willing to be honest. And I lied. And that ended up, I had to restart my time in June of 2021, which I'm very happy about. Fast forward to June, I'm sorry, December of 2021, me and my wife went on an 18-day trip in Italy. We went from Venice down to Sicily and then worked our way back up on the train system all throughout Italy. And I was, as black and white abstinent as I could possibly be, because I was willing, because I was very willing to make this a very important part, the most important part of my life. On the night we got engaged, I found this Michelin star tasting menu restaurant, and I remember we got seated. I see Deborah doing this. I kind of like the tasting menu stuff, but I have it with my sponsor. My abstinence as everyone else's is different. Mine is one plate. Like that's that. And at this tasting menu, they obviously bring out different dishes. And I wanted to call my sponsor at that time and like discuss how I could navigate that outside of just one plate. But it was like 2 in the morning back in America. So I sat there in this booth and I was like, because I was ashamed and scared, I was hiding plates that they were sending me, like bringing to the table, and I was putting them in the booth. And they're looking at me like I'm stupid. And that's fine. But then when it was done, I had it on one plate and I ate that one plate. And again, I'm bringing that up because, like, to juxtapose that to when I was in Mexico in 2020, I was ashamed. I was very, like, I didn't want this to be my life, abstinence. I didn't want to be a part of this program. Even though, from that picture, a little bit of my background, the only time I've ever been in a healthy body weight is being in this program. That was the only time I've ever been in one. From the day I was, well, from as young as I can remember up until 2020, I was obese and I, almost died, couldn't really walk around. Life wasn't easy. Now I get to go all over. And that is truly because I am I am willing to do what needs to be done. I don't, one of the things I do, I try to remember when I go out on trips is just, I'm not really doing the food tourism. Me and Deborah just came from Iceland at separate times, and I heard a lot of people tell me about a hot dog stand in Iceland that I have to go to. I have to go to the hot dog stand in Iceland, which I'm from Jersey, right outside of New York. I've been at hot dog stands. That's disgusting. But everyone was like, you have to go and try this. You must. And it just, the idea of spending my time in Iceland, going to a hot dog stand and standing in line to get a hot dog is absurd. But also, like, it's just not what I eat. Like, I could probably find an abstinent way to eat a hot dog if I was in the middle of nowhere with no other options whatsoever. But I love what Deborah said. I have different needs. I have much different needs. You know, if I know I'm having a three course meal, if I can eat all of those courses, I'm just gonna have it on one plate. If that's you know, obviously it's food that I can eat, not anything that wouldn't be alcoholic per se, but the idea that like I have to not eat in the way that I now understand really helps me not be in the disease of compulsive overeating. The idea that I can't eat that way because I'm in a different country, a different state, or just with different people is not the way I navigate my life. I travel around the country a lot. I should have thrown some pictures up from like when we went out to like different states, but I'm in a different state a lot, mainly for work, and also for like fun and travel as well. I've heard it again. You're gonna probably hear me say like, "Oh, I've heard this in the rooms," because I've learned a lot from the rooms. I've learned a lot from listening to all you guys talk and tell me what to do. But my abstinent breakfast, normally, you know, like 9 times out of 10, if you're getting a picture of my breakfast, it is 6 eggs and an apple. That's just what I eat for breakfast. And 6 eggs and an apple in California is the exact same thing in New York or Texas or Hawaii. Like, so although the content of my food might change, like for example, when I was in Italy, they did not have anything open at 7 in the morning except pizza places and you know, donut shops or whatever. So for my breakfast that time, which was helped with me by my wife, and later on with my sponsor when I was able to get reception, I had yogurt and a banana. You know, you commit to finding what you can find that is abstinent and you make it work. So that is a lot of my experience from that. I don't know when or how I got the willingness to do this, but I have it. And to show that even by the way, I have 4 years of continuous abstinence, so I'm still new. I buy into the idea that I'm new. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. On that cruise trip that I was just talking about, me and my wife just did that last month. The first few days on that cruise, I did absolutely no program work whatsoever. It was all just excuses. Like, I was too tired. The time change is hard. I don't know when. Not that I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to listen to that and do a meeting while I'm doing all this other stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I could tell you from personal experience, I felt a hunger that I haven't felt in a long time. And it wasn't because I wasn't eating. I'm not shy with my plates. I will, you know, that was a good thing on the cruise. They have a million options for steamed vegetables. They're all going on my plate. But I was hungry because I did not bring the program with me at that time. I was abstinent. I didn't overeat. I didn't eat anymore, but I would finish and I would just be starving. And I called my sponsor and told him about it. He asked me, when was the last time you went to a meeting? When was the last time you called somebody? And it had been days. So that's part of my experience with traveling is that I need to also bring the program with me. And it's not just it for me, it's not enough to just be abstinent. Like, it's not enough to just commit my food, not eat, you know, compulsively. Like, I need to find time in traveling to do a meeting, to make an outreach phone call. And when I'm saying that now, like right now, sitting in my house doing this workshop that I was so happy that I got this to do, that doesn't seem like a big price. That seems pretty reasonable. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do a meeting, I'm gonna make a phone call, and then I'm gonna go get to enjoy. I'm gonna go paint on a cruise ship. How cool is that? But in the moment, when I want what I want, when Chris wants to have his own way, when King Baby comes around, it's really hard. It seems like a ridiculous, you want me to stop what I'm doing to go do a meeting? You're out of your mind. And I got what I got. You know, I had to pay for that with just being out of my mind and like absolutely hungry. Like, I'm sure we can all identify with the like, not the hunger where it's like, man, I haven't had dinner when I usually have it, I'm kind of hungry, but like that hunger of like insatiable craziness that you feel like you're dying inside almost. And that's what I felt without bringing this program with me. And that was a very like stark, obvious observation during that time, because in all the other photos I showed when I was in Japan, Italy, France, when I went to Thailand, I was doing a meeting somehow every day. Every single day there was a meeting. And on a cruise ship, there's a meeting on the cruise ship. It's not hard to find, which we ended up did finding. And we got to actually go and like explore Norway with some sober friends that we met on the cruise, which was beautiful. Michelle is here, and me and my wife like to go to Vegas a lot, which, you know, in my disease, I would have never wanted to go to Vegas for anything other than like debaucherous reasons. And me and my wife are both sober. I'm abstinent, and we go to Vegas a lot, and it's so much fun. And we're not gamblers. We'll gamble a little bit, but it's not like a thing that draws us. But like Deborah was showing, like I get to meet up with fellows in program, you know, outside of the state, just to have fun. When I go on work trips or trips in general, getting to meet and hang out with people in program all over is a lot of fun. And it really does help the idea of like hammering down that I'm a compulsive overeater. One of the first trips that we took, we went out to New Jersey for my birthday a few years ago, and my wife got to meet a lot of my friends. And one of the people she got to meet was a guy in program from out in New Jersey, who like ended up having dinner with. It all sounds like pretty simple, but all these little things put together. And again, I really, really happy Deborah went first, because she really helped me like frame my idea, like the willingness. I think that's all that's needed to be abstinent. When I first started working with my sponsor in OA, he told me I could do whatever I want as long as I'm willing to be abstinent and then clean up whatever inevitable mess I'm gonna make. And I think that like the idea of like I can do whatever I want. When anyone I hear in meetings talks about going on a trip, and I hear people saying, I wouldn't do that, that's too much, you know, you're newly abstinent. Maybe they're right, but my sponsor never told me not to do anything. He never said no. The only thing he ever said no to was when I asked for a ridiculous food change. I get a straight up no on that. But if it's anything to do with life, it's always, yeah, see how it is. Be honest about it. See what happens. And that's so crazy. Like, that's such a difference of how I was living it even before. That's a big difference of how I was living before I found OA. I was very scared it not being in program. I was very scared when I was in my disease. I was scared of everything. I never went anywhere. And not just because physically I probably couldn't, you know, there was no way physically I was going to get into most places, but I was scared to do anything at all. And now I live life, I have fear, but I have no fear of going anywhere. You know, recoiling from certain things as if from a hot flame. What I got to do on that cruise ship, and it was kind of a funny joke, but it was also fun for me, was I got to go and pick out desserts for my wife. I was like, oh, you got to try this. You got to do this. And that's what I got to do. That's what I get to do in this absence. And there's no resentment. There's no draw. That is one thing I am very grateful for in program that and I say this a lot whenever I share, that if it has to do with my alcoholic foods, I have full neutrality. There's no interest in alcoholic foods, there's no draw. But I would be lying if I said that I don't want more food all the time. Like the food that I'm allowed to have, I
For the
want.
month,
Thank you,
no.
Jackie. The food I'm allowed to have, I want the legally maximum allowed amount. I want that plate outrage, like whatever it is I'm allowed to have, I want that. And then that's it. Like that's what I get. Not to keep piggybacking, but I love what Deborah said about like a portion at a very nice restaurant is insanely small to me. Like that's just it's nowhere near what I would have. I've gotten plates and it when you go out, when you travel, sometimes you might get a plate that's like really generous. It's like, wow, I kind of lucked out here. Most of the time you get a plate and it is sad. It's very small. It's even my wife will look at it and go, oh, you got screwed, buddy. I've heard that before. And it sucks. So you have to kind of do like what Deborah said. I have different needs. I'm not getting to like, if we go to a restaurant and my father-in-law gets like a tiny salad with like a little bit of protein and he goes, oh, this is fine right now. I'll just go out somewhere else and get something after. I don't have that option. I don't have, so I'm gonna have to say, hey man, I'm gonna need like a gigantic side of vegetables and I'll just wait here until you bring it and I'll pile it on my plate and then I'll take a picture and then I'll eat. And then that's how I get to live life. And again, when I'm sitting here, I had my lunch and I've had all my coffee and I've had my creature comforts here at home. Saying that is the price that I have to pay for the life that I have today, which again, I came here a homeless drug addict. Now I live in a house and I'm married with a job. So like my life outrageously different than what it was when I came here. And if I tell you that that's the price I have to pay for that, it seems really re it seems like yeah, I would do that too. But in the moment, and again, to go back to Deborah, planning to failing to plan is planning to fail. In the moment when you're in a restaurant and you have the disease that I do, yeah, it's hard to say that extra rice that I don't even eat is like it's hard to say I won't make that option. I have a friend in program like where we talk about how beautiful our lives are today. We get to go all these places. We get to do this and that and blah, blah, blah. But like if you offer us a pizza, it's like 51% that will not take it. But then that other 49 looks really good. Like it looks really good. It's like, damn, I know I'm just gonna end up homeless and dying, but like it is extra sausage. That's really good. Like our minds are so crazy. And I'm grateful that this program allows me to not be that much of a lunatic anymore. And I do have I'll end on this. I heard it the other day from a leader, and I really appreciate that I got to hear it in this way. Like in the book, it talks about recovering from a hopeless state of mind and body. And I am like it hit me the other day. I'm like I am there. Because when I have the idea about wanting more food, I make a phone call or I text it out. When I'm in the position of like, when I'm at that buffet line and like I don't know what to do, my instinct is not to just say, fuck it, I'll deal with it. It's to look at my wife and go, hey, like, what does this look like? Does this, what do you think? Because I don't know. Because my mind always goes to more. The idea that when I'm stressed and upset and life throws problems at me just like it does to everybody else, and I want more food after dinner, and I don't have it. I just go and I do an errand, or I make a phone call, or I just go the fuck to sleep. That's my life now. Outrageous. Very different from what it was. So that is what I have. Again, Jackie, thank you very much for asking me to do this.
Thank you so much, Chris, and both of you. What I'm going to do now is stop the recording so that the question and answer piece can be anonymous.